This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. Just from the bent of like where our schedule falls, I think everybody's already talked about the 40th anniversary of Marvel. When I think about it, I think more along the lines of I started reading the comic books in the teens. And so issue number one wasn't on the shelf. Treasury Edition wasn't on the shelf at, you know, my local comic book shop, which was an Albertsons grocery store. And so I didn't get a chance to read issue number one until I was like 15 or 16 when I finally found it at a comic book shop in Seattle. It's the second or third floor, Pike Street Market. There's a comic book shop in there. I ordered it. They shipped it to me. It is still one of the crispest comic books I've ever owned. I have a second copy for reading because I cannot bring myself to open that issue too many times. If I were to grade it, it would be immaculate. You know, I collected the comic books from the teens all the way up until 1987, where I had to restart my collection at about 88, and I had to go backward, and that's when I picked up issue one. So even though I had the toys, I didn't have the comics for the first 10 or 12, the first year or so. When did you come into the comic books? When did you read issue number one?
Oh, I don't know, 6 years ago. I grew up very rural. We had a KB Toys for the first chunk of my life. But I mean, I got most of my toys from Ames, which is, I don't know if you are familiar with Ames.
I am not.
So I think that was more of a regional, it was like a Kmart, Walmart type competitor.
Oh, okay. Walmart was my comic book store until about 92. My mom wasn't taking me to comic book shops in Seattle, and like my dad ran a Walmart. So that's, you know, where we got our comics for the first little bit until I was in like high school and I could drive myself and go find the comic book shops. So I get you. So you had Ames. I had QFC and Albertsons.
For the best of my knowledge, there might have been a short-lived comic shop in area, because the town I grew up in didn't even have a store. Like we had a Pepsi and a Coke vending machine that sat outside downtown. The closest store was 9 miles away.
Damn.
There was literally nothing. I had brushed in with modern era of G.I. Joe. That's what I was buying. Absolutely no contact with any form of G.I. Joe comic until I was an adult collector. And then even when I first started, you know, collecting G.I. Joe toys again, kind of like I didn't touch the comics. When I was buying Marvel Universe figures, I was cherry picking neat storylines within Marvel stuff, or like a buddy, like a friend of mine would say, he likes this stuff, so he'd just get me some random trade, and then I'd have to try to hunt down the rest of the trades that go in with that. And you know, none of the Marvel stuff really stuck. Obviously, I ditched it to come back to G.I. Joe. But long-winded answer to say that like I did not have access to G.I. Joe comics until I was an adult, and I didn't buy them until a couple of years into collecting, because you know, was I going to spend my money on books or toys? I mean, obviously I went with toys, which in hindsight, I wish I would have went with books because they're much harder to get now.
Sure. So do you have trade number 9?
I think so.
Okay. Then we need to get back to reading, because like I've read the Marvel run multiple times.
I think 9 was the last big one I got. So I think I'm down to 3. I think I'm down to 3 books, and it's going to be an absolute hellscape to get those, but I will eventually get the books.
By the time I was 16, I had everything except for issue 1 and 3.
Damn.
And 1 and 3 I found finally when I was like 16. I've just stayed current since then. So I restarted in like 88 or 89. You know, I remember I restarted my whole comic book collection with G.I. Joe at that point. My original comic book collection, G.I. Joe was one of the first. I definitely want to sit down and get back to the comics with you because you haven't read all 155 and now we're closing in on 300.
Yeah.
It would be nice. And, you know, we're not a review show, but it would still be nice to sit down, read them with you, and we can talk about, you know, your experience coming up with the comics.
I mean, even just our private conversations based around the comics is something that I enjoy quite a bit. So, I mean, if we turn an episode into talking about it, great.
Aside from that, you know, we've already had the big Hasbro Pulse reveals and, you know, we're all $4 million into 6-inch and retro O-ring pre-orders that won't drop until late 2022 through, I don't know, 2026. And this past weekend, Renegade Games dropped their big reveals. So if you want to pre-order all that, then you're in another 200. It's expensive to be a Joe guy these days, man.
Yeah, before we dive into the Renegades game stuff, the only thing that I want to mention, because you know this topic has been exhausted by this point, but I am still in shock that there is a transforming his tank that can seat a figure.
Oh, yeah, that's dope.
I mean, we don't have to get too far into it. I just want to say, you know, as a guy that doesn't necessarily care one way or another about Transformers, I ordered two of them.
I mean, you have to.
And I, you know, obviously everybody's already speculated on the, you know, Easter egg on the back. I just think it's an awesome concept that they finally nailed it. And I like that they kept the his tank, you know, detail oriented to match an O-ring figure.
Yeah.
Like they look like they belong together. And, you know, people have said both sides of that. I think it's cool, and I think it's absolutely batshit crazy that there's a two-scale his tank that transforms into a robot, and it's, you know, it's not coming from a third party. Fingers crossed there should be no, you know, quality control issues, but...
All right, so back to Renegade, or we got more?
No, that's... I just wanted to throw that in because, like, it doesn't matter how many times you hear it, that's still crazy.
Yeah,
like, it's still crazy that, you know, the cockpit opens, you can fit Baroness or, you know, any other O-ring figure. I'm going to have to do some surgery to get a modern figure to fit in there. But anyways, it's awesome. That was absolutely probably the highlight for me. And that's saying something because I don't care about Transformers.
Or O-ring.
You can say I don't care about O-ring, but I have purchased every new item. Anyways, let's talk about Renegade Games before I get more depressed.
It's wild to me, man. I have the collectible card game. I know you do too. But if you go on their site right now, they have 14 items for sale. That's a lot of confidence in the brand. You know, their whole thing, they dropped a hint about Mission Critical, which you can sign up to get news, but we can't pre-order it yet. So that's not even included in the 14 things that are on their site right now. They're already dropping an expansion, a Serpentor expansion for their deck building game, and it's coming with a bonus. So eventually that bonus will end up on their website. So let's say they have 15 things now. Their role-playing game hasn't even shipped yet, maybe by the end of the month, but they're already, I guess sales were good enough that they already have a character journal and a module, Cold Iron, which... Ryan Costello and Justin Bell from our community are working on the role-playing game. That's incredible, right? Like, these are our community guys, and then they're helping to make the brand go forward. Maybe they're not helping at Hasbro directly, but they're helping with this role-playing game. So their brains, their minds, their G.I. Joe knowledge is being put into our hands so that we can create our own characters and our own adventures with dice.
Having this much community tied into Renegade Games
through the art, through the story, yeah,
is going to make me purchase pretty much everything. You know, you and I have been talking relentlessly about the absolute chaos of being not only G.I. Joe collectors, but like any other fringe brand collectors. Like, I really don't need this, but I absolutely need this because I like to support the companies that are supporting us.
And the fact that they're bringing us into the companies to support us is just, it's just another layer of, I don't know, beauty, awesome, pick an adjective. I'm gushing. You know, the thing I didn't mention, they're also bringing out miniatures, right? And I can't remember the scale the sculptor said, but they wanted to make them a little bit bigger for, you know, people new to painting. So these miniatures are specifically being made for us to put paint on, which is dangerous for me. We've talked about that a lot. We've talked about my Warhammer past and how much I want to get back into painting, but really, really should not. Again, I don't remember the scale he mentioned. I'm hoping that scale, they chose a scale like Warhammer or the Star Wars Legions or whatever, so that they're all the same size. They're all, you know, size compatible, although not, you know, world compatible. But the cool thing that I thought, a Cobra source book is coming. And I don't know if you listened to all of this or not. I don't know if you caught it, but, you know, we're getting the G.I. Joe, the main book. We're getting that probably by the end of this month, so we can start role-playing, we can start gaming. But a Cobra expansion book means that we can play Cobra. Cobra's getting their own dice, their own dice bag. But moreover, they mentioned that Cobra would have genetic and cybernetic enhancement options built into the rules, because Cobra was more high fantasy or high science. One of the questions that came through and the way they tab danced around it was basically through those genetic and cybernetic enhancement options, you could effectively make Cobra Law, even though Cobra Law isn't technically in the source book, technically. A lot of that was dancing around, so we'll see like how much Cobra Law does make an appearance, or how, like, wink, wink, they make the rules so that you can make your own Royal Guard. But I thought that was dope. I'm excited. I'm truly excited about the confidence that Renegade Games has put into the brand.
It seems like all of these licensed companies, the confidence is there. The sales must be there. The interest is clearly there. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, all of these companies are businesses. It's a great feeling.
Oh, it's wonderful. If you're into games, Mission Critical, the pre-orders will probably drop later this month or next, but it's going to be a co-op miniatures style board game. So that's one. If you like deck builders, the deck builder's already out. Hell, they have it at my local comic book shop. So you can get it anywhere. They already have an expansion coming out. For the role-playing game, you can order the role-playing game and the Emerald Ubelette. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. It's supposed to ship later this month. And then they already have three more things on pre-order. Plus, there's a couple puzzles. I'm excited for Renegade Games. You know, I missed a lot of the Renegade Games stuff when it was live, and I had to catch it on replay because this weekend in Nashville at Rick's Comic City, which is my local comic shop, it's the best comic shop in Nashville, we did a Destro's Toy Den G.I. Joe pop-up. Todd, Ryan, and I filled up this empty storefront with a ton of G.I. Joe. We had four or five floating racks pegboarded out with figures and small vehicles, 9 or 10 tables with everything from Arthur Burkhart's receipts from where he got paid on residuals to custom artwork. There was a full-on Defiant. We had custom 6-inch figures, tons of boxed vehicles, you know, tons of loose vehicles, comic books, blueprints, I don't know, vehicle parts, whatever. We had it all. It was great, man. Like, it would have been lovely had you had come down, but the one thing we didn't have was a lot of modern. We had some modern figures, but not enough to satiate you. But we just expected it to be a very small thing, and we were really just doing show prep. And it turned into not being a small thing, and our show prep took a backseat. We got it done, but it wasn't all just sitting there, the three of us hanging out, that we thought it was going to be. We had a ton of people come through. A number of children, their parents, and these kids are like 5 through 13 still playing with G.I. Joe. That was awesome. We met a lot of the Nashville area people, so people were driving in from about 2 hours away. Had some great conversations with a couple long-term, high-end guys that I'd never met before. Ryan and I are working on some photos that I can't wait to show to the community. I'm really excited to show that stuff to the community. We're hoping to do this again probably not before Joe Fest, but that's how we celebrated the 40th anniversary of G.I. Joe. We did a G.I. Joe pop-up and hung out with our local community, and it was slick.
I am very jealous. I mean, I'm just so far away. When you had told me about the pop-up, that's the type of shit I wish happened around here. I mean, part of me not having Facebook limits me to not be able to organize anything like this, but...
There's that.
What can you do? I can just live through you guys and watch the videos and look at the pictures and be like, damn, that looks like a great time.
The whole time I was doing this, I kept seeing your pictures because it wasn't G.I. Joe, but you were neck deep in a few things.
Yeah, I did my typical once or twice a year. I get fixated on something and then I work myself into a buying frenzy.
And you go hard in the paint.
So, technically speaking, it ties to a G.I. Joe community member. As I've said before, I love to support anybody pushing, you know, the 4-inch, 1/18th scale line of toys that are articulated appropriately. And I pretty much went off the deep end with Dime Novel Legends. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, a buddy of mine hooked me up with a couple of his extras from his Kickstarter when he backed round one.
These Dime Novel Legends, these are the crazy cowboys that have like a bartender and a sheriff and a blacksmith and...
No blacksmith yet, I don't think. Okay. But
I've seen people use this in conjunction with MTF to make the perfect Wild Bill.
Yes. It started with my buddy had given me a couple 2 years ago. I didn't open them because I didn't have a place to put them. And honestly, the cardbacks are so slick that I didn't want to open them at the time. He had teased pre-COVID this cavalry officer that just happens to really look like Wild Bill.
That's the version 2, version 3 Wild Bill.
Yes, he's kind of in a old school uniform. He's not rocking more modern military garb.
Like version 1 is basically just Vietnam helicopter pilot with a six-shooter on his hip and a cowboy hat.
Yes.
Version 2 and version 3 is very like, I'm doing reenactments.
Yeah. So he went up for pre-order a while back, and it was a no-brainer for me because the 25th Wild Bill, in my opinion, is not worth shit.
Okay.
It's not a great figure. The head sculpt is one of the weird, tiny pea heads. It's a huge bummer because it's not a terrible head sculpt. It's just small. It's just undersized. So even if I built a Vietnam-era helicopter pilot body out of MTF, the head sculpt... Yeah, it looks like Beetlejuice with a shrunken head. When he teased this, you know, way back when, it was like a no-brainer for me. On one hand, COVID caused a bunch of delays, but on the other hand, this was supposed to be some sort of show exclusive somewhere that I wasn't going to be. Because of that, it became a online exclusive, so I was able to get one. I got that figure in, and it's awesome. You know, I did the hot water bath, and I did, you know, did what you got to do with modern toys. I was really impressed because it's, I don't want to say this in a way that sounds like he's taking anything, but they're more compatible with MTF where Boss Fight are kind of on their own, like Boss Fight's system is their own system. Other brands have hired Boss Fight to help and some of their stuff is integratable, but the Dime Novel Legends are definitely more compatible with MTF than the other brands, which I like because I have a metric ton of Marauder stuff.
We have MTF, we have Boss Fights, we have Dime Novel, we have Zika Toys, we have, and Zika Toys was like Fresh Monkey Fiction, a couple others.
Yep.
Then we have Joy Toy and we have Acid Rain. Is there not a standard compatibility across the line or is it all, each of these have their own?
So I'll leave out Joy Toy and Acid Rain because they are kind of, those two are specifically their own things.
Like Boss Fight?
Well, so basically, you have Animal Warriors of the Kingdom. You have Zika Toys. So Zika Toys, Fresh Monkey Fiction are in bed together. They share a lot of tooling. Those are also more compatible with MTF and Dime Novel to the point where there is, in the future coming, a Dime Novel Eagle Force crossover figure.
Oh, sweet.
Animal Warriors... share a similar system, not exact, but a similar system to Boss Fight. I believe that they had Boss Fight.
Yeah. Boss Fight had some sculpting in the early days.
Okay, yes. That makes sense because, like, the way the Boss Fight does their heads, they have, you know, the little dog bone inside the neck, where MTF and Dime Novel have G.I. Joe style, where you pull the head off and there's an empty socket and it pops on a neck. I'm drawing a blank on Zika Toys. I don't remember what the neck type is like, but...
Well, I didn't mean to derail you this hard anyway, so you don't have to go all the way down the path just to swing back around.
Universally, they're not interchangeable, unfortunately. It makes sense because obviously each company pays for their own tools.
They want you to keep you in their own garden, sure.
Yeah. I mean, even honestly, even within Hasbro, you know, like their lines really aren't that compatible. Star Wars stuff doesn't always mesh with G.I. Joe stuff. Head sculpts don't always work. You know, it's there are some things that cross over, but that's more frustrating for me on a Hasbro point because it's like you guys are putting out all of this stuff. I would love to be able to mix and match parts from every single one of your toy lines that are in scale, but that's an entirely different podcast episode. But in within that, I got, you know, I got a huge, I have most of Wave 1 at this point. In a couple weeks, I'm hoping to finish Wave 1, and then it's going to lead me to another nightmare of a purchase that in a fun way, but I need horses for these cowboys.
Nightmare on your wallet, fun for you.
Yes. And Boss Fight, thankfully, has horses and tech kits. So I will be able to... I am not going to buy horses for every single figure, but I would like maybe three, and I can interchange them out when it's appropriate. Also, part of the reason that I finally leapt into these Dime Novel Legends figures is because they kind of really work well with Zorro, and I finally got my Boss Fight Phantom figures.
Oh, congratulations.
This is, you know, huge. I've wanted a Phantom action figure since I was a kid. I got the NECA one. 7-inch is not my scale. Beautiful figure. But I actually opened the version 2, which is the King Comics from NECA, and had no quality control issues. I know the first one was dangerous, but this one poses really nice. I got him holding his two pistols with blast effects. He came with a really, really weak whip accessory that is essentially a beautiful handle with a super thin piece of wire. Does not look like a whip outside of the handle. It doesn't taper. It's all one super skinny size. I just coil it up. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a spot to hang it. But enough about that. The Phantom, the 4-inch Phantom figure from Boss Fight is a dream come true for me. I got version 1 and version 2, which was Wave 1 and Wave 1.5. Cowboys don't necessarily hang out in the jungle, but hey, I can take my Phantom wherever I want him to go.
Yeah, and see, I didn't even pick up any toys at our pop-up this weekend. He brought home two vehicles, the Manta Ray from 94 and the RPV from, I don't know, whatever year that was. I should know it because it's in the mid-80s, but he got those from Todd for helping working. I didn't even bring anything home, so... I haven't gotten any toys. Well, maybe a couple sharks, but I haven't gotten any toys since the Riot Commando O-rings. So it's good that you're keeping us floating here at the order of me not buying toys battle.
Well, I guess I'll add a highlight. One of the funnest things about the Dime Novel Legends is the creator is a customizer. When he created his toy line, he kept that in mind. So I was able to combine some parts and make like a pretty much perfect screen accurate Lone Ranger. All I need is a set of gloved hands and I'm golden. I have not yet tried to pull the hands out and see what the wrist peg is like size wise. Eventually I will. But I might just leave his hands with bare, you know, the bare flesh hands, but I'm loving it. He needs his own horse. So I'll probably have to get four horses, one specifically for him and three to mix in with the rest of the cowboys.
Well, you know, and if you don't do anything with the hands, you'll see him in June.
Hey, that's very true. I am really looking forward to seeing what he's got and maybe, you know, trying to pick his brain and see the timeline on some of the stuff that's coming because he's got some really gorgeous stuff on his site.
Toylanta is in 2 weeks. Alexander and I are going down there. We'll ride down with Todd and Ryan, Destro's toyed in. If he's down there, I'll send you lots of pics. And if I see black glove hands, I'll send you double pics. A week after that is Xenia, which is the big 600 toy vendors. It's everything, right? And it's not just G.I. Joe, but it's in Xenia, Ohio. You know, that's probably 5 or 6 hours for you. It's probably close enough to drive, but, you know, you're probably going to be working because you work like a madman every weekend. But that's another toy show coming up. I know Todd and Ryan are going up for that one. A and I will not.
I wish I could go. I really financially should not go.
No, same.
600 toy vendors, regardless of G.I. Joe, you know that I will find copious amounts of stuff to buy, and I need that like I need a hole in the head right now. So,
yeah, man.
I will be there in spirit. I will be wishing well to Destro's Toy Den, and I'm sure, you know, friend of the show, James Cavanaugh, will be there.
Absolutely. I brought some things to sell at the pop-up. They didn't really sell. I'm bringing them to Toylanta. If they sell early, I'll have money to spend. Otherwise, you know, I'm not doing much in Toylanta. I'm sitting quiet till Joe Fest, really. Speaking of Cav, he's already announced the G.I. Joe fan club on What's on Joe Mind. Full Force has already talked about it. It's coming, and I can't wait to, you know, when he launches and we can all jump in and support that. We haven't had a fan club since Fun Publication, you know, so he's bringing it back and I can't wait for it. You know, and also the end of this month is the end of the pre-order for G.I. Joe in España, 1988 to 1994. You know, David and Jose and Eduardo were on here talking about it just a couple episodes ago. I've already pre-ordered. I know you've already pre-ordered. I need everybody to pre-order. They've already announced more stuff than, you know, 8 hardback books that are 150 to 250 pages each. They now have like a hard slipcover, and they've announced other things. And I know it's in Spanish, but damn it, get Duolingo. I don't know. I'm doing it.
I mean, language aside, the photos and the layouts are beautiful.
They're some of the best layouts I've seen in our community. And that's not taking anything from the other authors in our group. All these books are incredible, but these layouts are just holy shit.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't own all the books, but they put like blueprints and advertisements and stuff in theirs, and I don't know if those are in the other books, at least on this level, I can say confidently.
Right, not on this level. So in a little bit in the first volume and the second volume, but a lot more in the third volume, Belomo did some collages or some pictures with like a lot of stuff laid out, but it's not as specific. I think Carson has definitely put some advertisements and like some foldouts, the inserts, things like that in his books. And Klingon Smith has covered some of that as well when he's doing the Creating G.I. Joe stuff. But since these guys have the narrow focus of 88 to 94 and only what came out in Spain, they're putting in everything. We listened to David talk about how they were putting in letters from Hasbro and fan club stuff, and how Jose had written Hasbro and got a letter back and lost that, and he's been desperately trying to find it for the book. It's a personal letter from Hasbro saying why they didn't do something. They're going the nines. And maybe you're not a foreign collector, maybe you don't speak Spanish, but this level of knowledge in this community between Carson and Belomo and Dan Klingensmith and previously Yojo and Declassified and Justin Bell and, you know, Blood for the Baron. I'm spacing on his name right now. The guy from Netherlands. Because I'm going off my head and not off notes, I'm just starting to forget names as I read off others. We're so saturated with deep level of information. And yet these guys found a niche that hasn't been run dry. And they are just, I don't know, man. Pre-order this at the end of the, by the end of the month. And then Cav coming with the fan club. And everybody else is coming with stuff. Dan's been putting out things for the next volume of his book. We're on the move. So this 40th anniversary of G.I. Joe issue number one isn't just a G.I. Joe issue number one celebration. We are back at full tilt. The only thing our community truly is missing is a proper cartoon.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
We have a very ambitious community and a very willing to support community. There's a lot of talented people creating very nice things to complement what we're getting from Hasbro. That is something that I'm sure every toy community has. I feel like our community is
a little extra.
Yeah.
It's invigorating, it's exciting, it's costly.
This has been the Order of Battle.